listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
One of those people that you meet that just seems really competent at their job, but just kind of a little bit off. Then did you ever wonder if they made a movie about that person and it turned out they were a serial killer and threw a couple splashes of giallo in it without all the color? Well, that's kind of what you'd get when you get this movie. This is the Stylist. It is directed by Jill, probably going to butcher this horribly,
Javargian.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, okay. maybe it's said instead of pronounced, the G.
Yeah, I know. If you're listening to this, please feel free to point and laugh at us. We're so sorry. And starring Nahara Townsend as the titular stylist who is, yeah, she seems to be really good at her job. She's very fashionable. She seems like a totally normal person, except the fact that she occasionally scalps people. what did you guys think about this movie? Because I feel like I might be the odd one out on this.
So we got the screener for this suddenly, when was it, like Thursday night, Friday night?
Mm-hmm.
And I watched it yesterday, and then I watched it today, and I'm probably going to watch it again because I fucking love this movie. I'm very, very, very into Italian horror movies. This is the first one that I've seen where it's like, I'm not just seeing things. I truly believe this had to have been inspired by, like, different giallos. Because it looks as beautiful as one of those movies.
I don't know much about giallo. I'll admit that. But this was gross. And it was a good gross. The kind of gross that seemed like, that's probably what scalping someone looks like. The only time I remember seeing someone get scalped in a movie, and this is poor Shelton Bradley, was when Tristan's brother Samuel died and he went nuts on all those Nazis, you know? Brad Pitt in Legends of the Fall, yeah.
I actually didn't mind the gore and the scalping, but there's a scene where she takes off one of the wigs that has the scalp on it from this plastic clear mannequin head. And it leaves this gross residue, and it makes this, like, suction cup sound, and that got such a visceral reaction out of me. I felt sick. Gore is okay. Gross, weird flesh thingies, not okay.
It's like people who can watch the pimple popper videos but draw the line at feet surgery.
Oh, my God. Feet surgery.
This movie made me think of three other movies, I guess. Probably because I had seen it recently in Fabric. And that has a lot to do with, I think, what our homie here really likes about it. The visual look, it's very sumptuous, especially when we get the big blown out reverby music. The composer I have here, Nicholas Ellert? Alert?
Again with the names.
His first feature-length score, it sounds like, and it's a great job. So when we get these real big, double-exposed, over-stylistically edited montages with the music, I really thought that the gore, like we're talking about the scalping, it made me think of Possessor, because I was trying to figure out, Possessor's for sure a much more violent film,
yeah,
but they do not cut in these scalping scenes, and it's great. It's shot straight down, and you're going to look away, or you're going to, like you said, this is probably what it looks like if you're getting
it. You can look away if you want, but by the time you look back, she'll still be doing it. They really want you to see it.
This is being put out by Arrow Films, which I found really interesting because they're more of like a genre restoration company. Like they'll put out Blu-rays of genre films that you thought were lost and gone, and here's now a 4K restoration. They're really cool for stuff like that. So when I saw that they had a film out, I didn't know that they produce films for one, or at least bought them for distribution. But when I saw their title, it was like, this is going to be kind of interesting. And then by the end of the movie, it's like, oh yeah, this totally falls in with all the other genre stuff that they're into. So this for sure, it's a horror movie that I guess it could be accessible if you want to just kind of call it a slasher, because at its core,
kind of
what it is. I think you would dig it more if you're also into genre films such as giallo and more niche horror.
The third movie I was going to say it reminded me of is The House That Jack Built. And I don't know if this would get to what Rose was kind of hinting at. If you look at it like a slasher, which I think is legitimate, we don't get a lot of movies where the slasher is the main character. So watching this woman who from the rip is murderous, really one big pull of the movie is her inability to deal with people not accepting her for what she is. I mean, we never see a scene where, you know, we're getting melodramatic or I'm going to go try something and it didn't work out. We see her try and stretch out socially, but that's in the end what I think made me dig this movie more, because it seemed like it was this certain thing when it started. And I dug that it was kind of a different look at, I mean, where it's not Silence of the Lambs, because we're not getting this other character. We do get Brea Grant. We were talking about his character. But we don't get like a piece of the movie that's her and her marriage and all that stuff. We're straight up following this woman who's killing, maybe deciding not to kill, maybe going to kill again. I just thought that this movie had a lot in it that it had me thinking about during the film, which if you had told me what happened during the film, I would have been, you know, oh, I've seen movies like that before. But this seemed kind of novel. I liked it.
You mentioned Brea Grant, and we like just saw her in this film called Lucky that is coming out next week. And it really felt like if you say her name three times in review, she's going to pop up in the next film that you review. But she's, once again, really good in this. She's great in this. Her and the main actress, Nahara. Yeah,
Nahara Townsend.
Mm-hmm. She's been in other horror movies, too. I think she's known most famously from her performance in Contracted, there we go, which is disgusting. I'm not a big fan of that movie. Bradley, you should watch it.
No, I couldn't. I can't stand the body horror. I don't do pimple popper or feet stuff.
But I'm glad that she's in this, because this is not only just like a great horror performance, but this is just great acting altogether. She does so much with like just a simple look on her face that you can totally see, like, all right, I see all the pain that you're going through. I wish you could kind of just get therapy. I bet you'd be a nice person if you got therapy and didn't resort to just murdering people. But everyone here does a pretty great job, I would say.
Yeah, and it kind of seemed to try to play a little bit, you know, as an allegory for people with extreme anxiety issues and maybe like the worst possible outcome for how someone could channel those emotions. And yeah, her performance was just dynamite. I mean, she could go from just kind of smiling and competent and normal one second to just total psychotic the very next with, yeah, just a flick of the eyes. It was great. And she had these great moments of vulnerability too. Like there's one scene where she hears some people that she thought were nice to her. I wouldn't say friends, but just new to her people being nice that were not so nice, trash-talking her in a bathroom, and you can really feel the hurt on her face, on the inside, and as a girl, as a woman, and maybe someone who has been in that particular situation before, she played that off very well, very realistically.
Yeah, that triggered my mother-in-law and wife. They were like, those bitches. They were right there with her in that bathroom stall. They weren't crazy or like saying, I hope she kills them or anything, but definitely a relatable moment.
And maybe that's what I really dug about it. Because like I said, not only are we following, I mean, I assume we call her a villain if that, you know, yeah, you're
absolutely
putting it on paper, but any empathy after what happens in the first 3 minutes is movie magic to me, because why wouldn't we want her to be crying in her basement for how, yeah, what she was, you know, going about her life doing. But there's something about the emotional stuff that we see on her face. We don't really get a lot of the, when we get the, I don't want to jump to male, but there's a lot more serial killer male driven films. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of the avarice on their face and the I'm God and blah, blah. There's none of that. Like, even when she's killing them, she's like, oh, I don't want to I love that she brings out the mop first. That is tension building gold right
think
there.
Think about this stuff.
Some movies like Moon is, I love that movie because for me, my emotions really changed for which is the one guy that I want to get, you know, what you want. And I think in here, there's a little bit of that. It's complete subversion of the way that this usually goes in that you cared anything about her. So I thought that was cool too.
And as a slasher, if we want to call it that, as a horror movie that has definite references to other films and falls in the same camp as other films, I'm glad that it didn't explain fully why it is that she's even doing the things that she's doing. Like it doesn't go into any past specific trauma. It doesn't like go into her childhood, where like so many of these movies are just like, oh, okay, well, he's doing this because he saw his mom fooling around with Santa Claus or something like that. Like it's always like something just like that. And this movie is like telling you exactly why she is the way that she is. And at the same time being like, you know what? Why don't you relate it to something that you think it's about?
Yeah, that part was kind of a problem for me because they came so close to really... it's a part where, yeah, like you said, in any other movie, they would continue on with that and she would tell you, my mother was a hairdresser until one day, you know, and they get right to that point and then she just kind of stops telling her story. And it's like, well, no, like, I kind of need to know why you're like this. It bugged me.
But... It's unsettling and scary, right?
Yeah, there's no motivation besides like, oh, well, you know, she wants to try the hair on.
Yeah, and it's like, it could go either way, something like that, keeping it ambiguous, like with Michael Myers, at least originally, you know, there was no justification. He was just evil, and that could work in this one, but since it's something so specific, like scalping people and then going into your basement and putting their scalps on and stuff, it's like, this is... pretty damn specific. I kind of want to know why she's like this.
Well, when she catches herself in a mirror, she stares at herself very intently. I don't know if it's because she doesn't recognize the person in the mirror or if she's trying to figure out who that person is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And by wearing people's hair, she has some kind of sense of identity, maybe. This is me reaching, because you're right, Rose. It doesn't say, but anytime in those scenes that Mrs. Townsend here is looking in the mirrors, I'm like, oh no, oh, who's going to die? What's going to happen? Very intense.
I think, too, to speak to that, this was built off a short from the same people, obviously, the same.
From 2016.
The titular stylist was played by the same actress. The only two difference in that 12-minute format in this is in the beginning of the short, she does a little like 30 seconds of water cooler talk with one of the other employees, which in the context of the movie, I think would have killed it. Because I think like Rose is saying, we rubbed all the edges off her. She's just here and this is what's happening. If we had also let her talk about somebody, you know, blah, 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 and all this stuff. And the other thing is that near the end of the short, there's a real big visual hint at something that had happened in the past. And so I think by removing both those things, I would assume purposefully what I dug about the film, and I'll say that probably later at the end, is I like the state it kept me in. Like, I wasn't like, oh, well, I don't like this, or oh, I really like, I was visually, it was enough to keep me hanging. There's so many cool little shots of color, such great tight close shots of stuff in the first half, like when we first see her leather rollout of handy tools and, and stuff like that, that I was in it. I just really felt drawn to it.
Yeah. So should we move into final thoughts?
Oh, yeah.
Unless we want to just go into full-on spoilers, I guess.
Yeah, because I kind of want to complain about something at the very, very end that's a gigantic spoiler.
Yeah, I guess we can wait till after that. I don't know.
Spoilers after dark.
After dark. Adrian, what's final thoughts?
I love this movie. I think this is something that is going to be really, really admired by people who love niche genre horror movies like this that are kind of sleazy, kind of uncomfortable, but yet really well acted. It looks beautiful. I compare it to a giallo, but it doesn't feel like, oh, someone saw a Dario Argento movie and let me put like just straight up visual references and let me show you that I know these movies. It really felt like the director, writer, and all the crew were just like, we love these type of movies and we want to make our own. And they did. And it's fucking fantastic. I highly recommend this. And honestly, even though with all we said about the movie, don't look up the trailer or anything like that. Just,
yeah.
I give this 5 sticky wigs out of 5.
All right, Robert.
I really dug it. Like I was talking about that it drew me in, I want to give a special shout out to production design by Sarah Sharp, art direction by Amelia Reeves, and costume design by Haley Sharp. There are movies who, like The Love Witch, where so much of the film is what you're looking at. This one doesn't jump that far, but for what it's doing and the tone, not everything in this film looked great. Even the exterior, some of the car stuff, it was all really well shot. And the idea of following pretty much a murderer being unsure about herself, I like that it kept me uneven enough that with absolutely no bullshit, I can say that 100% I did not see the end coming until it happened.
I'm the opposite. I saw it coming down the street in a cab.
Nowhere in my mind did I see that happening. I was so sure that right before it happened, I was like, well, I guess we've got 10 more minutes, I guess. I didn't want to look at how much time was left, but it's like, we got another set to go to. And also that in my head kept score that we were leading up to a church at the end of the movie. So I'm going to give it 4.5 out of 5 glasses of wine drink. I would never drink. If I had to tip somebody and we weren't in a service establishment, I wouldn't let them give me alcohol before. Yeah.
For me, icky stuff creeps me out. And that opening kill was so gross. She is not a surgeon like Dexter or the other psychopaths you see. She rips and tears at these future wigs, and it is very unsettling and disturbing. And she uses her whole strength, like, come on, get. Oh, I'm shivering thinking about it. She's amazing. This character, Claire, by Nahara Townsend, absolutely astounding. She has a dog, tiny little pup.
He's so cute.
And she's able to interact with this dog like a human being, I'll say. Mm-hmm. And it's very natural. And it's kind of, it's adorable.
Yeah.
But when she tries to talk to people, it's like someone's holding her at gunpoint saying, you need to lead a nice conversation with this person. And she's like, oh God, how are you?
What to do with my hands?
It's incredible.
Yeah. Which, like those and people definitely exist too. It's crazy.
Right? And what blew me away most of all about the story, credit to writer, director, and story by, as we said, Jill Gevorgyan. Apologies if I'm messing up your name. She's gorgeous. And her fashion sense is on point.
Yeah.
From her earring to her collars to her knee highs. When she's wearing knee highs, all of it looks perfect. And she's a psycho. We never get that. We always get the, these people are pushed down and kicked and then they break. We don't know why she breaks, but it has nothing to do with that aspect of her life. At least I'd imagine not so. Maybe she sees an ugly person when she looks in the mirror. It's definitely psychologically, I don't want to say crazy, but wow.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm a super big fan of Brea Grant as well, who plays Olivia, the, we'll just say, person being stalked without even really knowing it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give this, I do want to say I don't get it. I didn't get the ending at all, and I didn't see it coming either. I was like, what?
Man.
And it was good, but I was all like, I don't understand. I didn't understand the closing line. I don't mind feeling stupid, so I don't want to fault the film for that. But yeah, I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 tiny little pups you can put in your purse.
That dog was so cute. And she talked to and acted around that dog like the way that I do with my own, where I'm just like, what, you want to eat? All right, come on. this was a really interesting film. It didn't 100% connect for me. Although I did like it, I would recommend it because I know that there are people that it's really going to hit strong with. I felt it kind of was a swing and a miss at a lot of different things, but some of them, it really hit out of the park. Like the main actress's performance. A lot of the cinematography was just gorgeous. There was these huge, vibrant splashes of light, in particular this nightclub scene with, like I said, the bathroom in particular. I don't know if this was intentional or not, but I'm going to give them credit and say that it is, that like this one part where she's feeling terribly alone and vulnerable and sad and scared, and she's bathed in this blue light in the bathroom stall, and she hears these bitches bad mouthing her, and then she walks out into the red light of the rest of the bathroom, and it's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, it does a really good job of portraying someone with extreme social anxiety. I mean, you kind of wonder why she can't get it together more, because yeah, she has impeccable fashion sense, she's very good at her job, she's independent enough to live on her own in this mansion. That was another part that was kind of confusing to me. How could she afford that, like, freaking Adams Family house on a hairstyler's salary? But that's minor point. I liked it, I just didn't love it, but I would definitely give it a recommend for a good, you know, spooky slasher movie, and I would give it 7 stolen nightgowns out of 10.
All right, well, Bradley, I'll see you at the next Brea Grant film that we're gonna cover.
Yeah.
Probably next week.